70. We're actually recording on a Sunday.
We are recording on a Sunday morning. Sunday morning, and for me anyway. And I, of course, because I'm always eating, can I tell you that I just grabbed a quick piece of toast and a hard-boiled egg because I'm being, you know, whatever, good. I ate like shit last night. A friend of mine wanted to go out for his birthday. And because we're all like, I don't know, trying to be, I think they decided they were trying to be cheap because they owe a buttload in taxes. They're trying to be cheap. So, but also one of his favorite restaurants, which was not here before, and now it is here. I've never heard of before. They just opened one up in Burbank. It's called Steak and Shake. Have you heard of Steak and Shake? I had never heard of it. So I was like, okay, well, maybe it's some sort of kitschy, like, this will be fun. I show up and I am in hell because I'm looking at it going, you love this food? Like, for those of you who've never been to a Steak and Shake, everything on the menu, and it's not a big menu. There's not even a, it's burgers, but, you know, steak burgers, but it's not even like really good in and out. Mm-mm. It's like cheesy, thin, disgusting, kind of probably McDonald's quality patties. Oh, my phone's, I'm going to turn that on vibrate.
We have them here, so our listeners in the Chicago area will know what they are, and we don't have In-N-Out burgers here. So
no, it's like White Castle quality for your Midwesterners, but the menu, it was hilarious to me because it was like two patties on, you know, if you want a chili cheese or a Philly cheesesteak, it's two patties on a bun with, you know, with cheese on it. If you want a French dip, it's two patties on a bun with some French dip sauce next to it. If you want it on, you know. My guy got like some sort of taco salad, and because he's trying to be good, and he was like, "No, I ate really good." I said, "Really? What's with the ranch and the blue cheese dressing? Because those the side of like ranch and the side of blue cheese, I've never seen anything so thick, and I'm pretty sure it regenerated itself." We were laughing because we watched Attack of the Killer Tomatoes not that long ago because the kids all wanted to watch it, and he wanted to like. We did a old B horror movie weekend where we showed them all these old movies, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes and like a couple of other ones. And we were laughing because the sound of the tomatoes is that's the sound they make when they're rolling at you.
Yeah.
And that's the big joke is I looked down and I was like, I'm pretty sure the blue cheese dressing went and then I looked down and it was full again.
Yeah.
It was so gross. Although I have to say I was pretty good and I restrained myself and I did not get a shake because...
Their shakes are good.
But gigantic.
Yeah, but gigantic. You have to ask for it without the syrup in it because most places do. If you want a real milkshake, you just want the milk and the ice cream. But a lot of those places put that syrup in to add more strawberry flavor or more chocolate flavor or more vanilla flavor.
No, I'm glad that I didn't get it then because she had also bought a cake. But so a lot of people were getting like shakes and then she had also bought a cake. So I had like a few sips of my girlfriend.
Like really? It was a birthday party at Steak and Shake?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
And I'm looking around and like there's a table of teenage boys next to us on one side and a table. But so then we went super early because they don't take reservations and there was a bunch of us. There was like 15 of us. So we went super early. So we're eating dinner at like 5 o'clock. And then, you know, so I already feel ancient because we're surrounded by tables of teenagers because the movie theater is across the street. And, but then a lot of people kind of peeled off and, by the time we were done, it was only like 7:30. So we walked around and we went into this one bar cause we were trying to get a drink and they don't serve drinks there.
No.
And, so we walked around, it was an area where you could easily walk and there's lots of bars and we walked to a couple of different bars. And there's this one bar that apparently was about to turn into a nightclub later. We were way too early for the nightclub. They had an 80s cover band coming. And the guy was like, well, do you want to get your hand stamped? So if you decide to come back to listen to the band, you don't have to pay the cover charge because there's a cover charge. And we were like, okay, sure. We're probably not coming back, but sure. So I get my hand stamped and we walk downstairs. And as we're getting out into the street, I was like, okay, you guys, it's really sad, but is it really sad that I'm excited that this is the first time I've had a hand stamp in probably 20 years?
Oh my God.
I'm going to crawl home at like 11:30 with my hand stamp and yeah, it was sad. But we did end up going to a bar and buying, you know, of course, $10 margaritas. There was a point to that story. What was it?
I don't know, but
this morning... Oh. So I'm eating, you know, I'm trying to eat healthy. I have the toast and the hard-boiled egg. But, of course, because my life has been a little bit stressful lately, I have turned to my old pal, Sugar, who's always there for me.
Oh, always.
When I need to emotionally.
Drug of choice.
When I need to emotionally eat. And because I know we've talked on the show before about how sugar is one molecule away from crack cocaine, I have now fallen deeply back into the, my body is craving it every day. So my breakfast consisted of toast, a hard-boiled egg, and a gigantic chocolate chip cookie that my mom had left for me yesterday that I didn't finish yesterday because I had like...
Nice. And you're rolling right into sugar, the high sugar train, which is this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm actually pretty good with that, with resisting.
I usually am okay with it, but the problem is that when I'm at my mom's office, lately a lot of people have been bringing stuff by. We've had two back-to-back people bring... sugar, individually wrapped sugar, which makes it easier to eat because it lasts a lot longer.
Like, you mean like individually wrapped sugar cubes, like packets of sugar?
No, that would be sad. But basically, no, because one woman brought this gigantic tin, like the size of one of those popcorn tins.
Yeah,
but like a little bit of a smaller version, not the real tall ones, but like the half drum. Right. And it was all these individually wrapped chocolates. Like there was maybe 10 different flavors and variations of candy, but they were all kind of individually wrapped. So, you know, they last a long time. And of course my mom, hilarious, was saying, oh, that's great. That's going to last us like the year. And of course me and the other two people who worked in the office looked at each other like, really? I give it maybe 2 months, maybe a month tops. And then as soon as that was kind of like, the dregs that were left on the bottom were basically just the flavors that nobody wanted.
Right.
Another guy, one of our clients, came in whose daughter was selling chocolates. Well, my dude already bought like 5 boxes of Girl Scout cookies from the girls. I told him not to. I'm like, we don't need that many. Please, please, for the love of God, I have no willpower. No, it was chocolate. So there was bars, chocolate bars, like the crisp with the Rice Krispie things in them. Then there was the chocolate bars that had almonds in them. And then there were the individual, again, with the individual wrapped like mint chocolate and individual wrapped chocolate almonds. And he brought a big box of them in like he was selling them. But no, he just decided to buy the whole box from his daughter instead of making her sell them individually.
Sure.
And brought us the entire box and just left it at our office.
Wow. That's a giver.
For us to eat.
Of diabetes.
Yes. That's what my son now says. He'll look at stuff and go, oh, that tastes like diabetes.
the sugars,
but he still eats it. So anyway, that was my healthy breakfast. And I, as you can see, we were talking about the dermatologist. I went to the dermatologist too this week for my facials because I get my monthly facials. But can I tell you that the next in the saga, I know we've done probably a recurring segment, not on purpose, mind you, accidental recurring segment called When the Doctor Says, Well, This Is What Happens When You Reach 40. I know, I hate this segment too. But now I'm starting to get these little, like, I don't know if they're sunspots, but they're just little blotchy. And I think you and I talked about this because now I'm understanding what you were saying when you were out here and you were swimming. We went out to the pool to do the thing where you wore your two-piece and you freaked out because you didn't put enough sunblock on and you said my dermatologist is going to kill me because you had like brown spots.
Right.
I am now getting these little brown spots on my jawline. I had only gotten like one or two of them.
Mm-hmm. And it's called melasma. Hyperpigmentation.
Right. But apparently it happens with like the surge of hormones that you get when you're in your 40s, because now I'm getting them. I'm getting more of them that they kind of look like sunspots, but I've been bleaching them out, but I feel like I'm getting more and more. It started on my chin when I went to Hawaii. I looked in the mirror one day and I went, what the fuck is that? Mm-hmm. But now it's like that. It's like that, but there's more of them now. Little like, and they're starting to look like sunspots.
Well, here's some PSA.
This is the new segment that I call What the Fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
Well, it happens to men and women because I actually know something about this because I'm, you know, as fair can be. So whenever I've always had freckles, and there's a difference between freckles and the hyperpigmentation. The hyperpigmentation kind of shows up more as a little more splotchy or just discoloration as opposed to the dot, dot, dot of freckles.
Yeah, it looks like your grandma's sunspots when you look at the back of your grandma's hands and she's got all the dark. That's what it looks like, but on your face.
Okay.
And so fun. So what do you do to get rid of yours?
Well, actually, when I go to my dermatologist, she takes hydrogen or dry ice or whatever, you know, and freezes it off. But because what's happened to me is, I think we talked about this too. I was in a really bad biking accident when I was 14 years old. I was riding a bicycle and I kind of clipped my wheel in a curb and I slid on my face for a couple feet right at the end of a street. So there were all the rocks and pebbles. I'm so glad there wasn't glass in there, but rocks and pebbles. And I really just trashed my
road
face.
Rash. So you basically got a pretty bad thing of road rash. Wait, yeah, I mean, real quick. When she freezes them off, do they stay gone?
Yeah. I mean, I had one here that was a brown spot and she just, and it just, you know, it burns the skin away and then you just, you know, whatever. So
like the laser. Okay. Anyway, so go ahead. So you had road rash face, which
yeah. And my mom, you know, had picked out with tweezers, like hundreds of rocks from my face. And I healed well because I was 14 and I didn't scar. But as you get older, your the collagen in your face doesn't produce as quickly. And so now I'm starting to see these indentations from where the rocks were. And they're around my mouth and they're on the side of my right face because I slid on my right face to the left. And I'm starting to get more of these hyperpigmentations that you're talking about from where the cut was from over the years of the, you know, sun being on that and because the skin was thinner. So it's gotten to the point where going to the doctor and having something tweaked or burned off isn't really an option. So funny you should say that because I'm going to do two processes. One's called microneedling.
Oh, God.
And it's where they take something that's similar to a pen of a multitude of like acupuncture needles is like at the head of this. So let's say it's like a quarter inch in diameter.
Right.
I haven't had it done yet. I'm going to start this one on Tuesday. And so then they put a numbing gel on your face and they literally like track this thing across your face. And what it's supposed to do is make these little micro incisions in your, it goes through the epidermis layer to your dermis. And it's supposed to make these little incisions so that your body goes into a healing motion and produces collagen. It's supposed to be.
Right after it happens, do you look like Deadpool for a couple of weeks or like?
No. I actually did, you know, I've done a lot of research on it before I committed to this. No, it's, you might look like you're getting a little sunburn because, and that should only last for about a day.
Oh.
And, it's supposed to be like, it's not, it, they liken it to having, a rubber band whacked on your face, which is kind of the same to me as when I had the hair removal done. So
oh,
I guess,
yeah, I was going to say, it probably sounds like that, or maybe like, you know, a little bit more painful than the microdermabrasion. Cause microdermabrasion is not really painful. It just feels like a cat licking your face.
Right. Right. So that takes about maybe an hour. And then 2 weeks later that will be for the scars from the rock scars and stuff. And then I'm going to do something else that's called IPL, which is intense pulse light or something like that. IPL. And that's a laser, but it's not as intense as where you're going to have like layers of your skin peeling away. It's a broadband laser. And what that is for the broken capillaries and the hyperpigmentation. And so, I'm having a series of each of those done in the hopes of reducing or eliminating these fine lines and rock scars.
Yeah, but don't they just come and ask them for me? I'll be curious. Don't they just come back? I know that all of our male listeners are probably tuned out at this point, but don't they just come back when you go out in the sun?
There's so many dudes, Manscaped. But I don't go out in the sun, one.
No, I mean, I wear hats and stuff, but you know, when we went camping and we go camping at the beach every year. So we're at the beach for, you know, hours. We're out in the sun hours and hours and hours every day, all day long for like 3-4 hours. And I wear hats and I wear sunblock and I reapply. And when I was in Hawaii, I wore hats and I wore sunblock and I reapply. But there, you know, but when you're at the water and the sun is the bouncing off the water and
sure.
It gets underneath your hat. I mean, obviously, you're gonna get sun. But even though I'm reapplying and reapplying, I still got a big brown, like a gigantic brown spot on my chin that I feel like the sunspots. I use bleaching cream. I haven't done, you know, I haven't asked the dermatologist about this because this is a new thing from this newest thing is newer, but they're big on lasers because it's the LA Laser Center. So they're big
right.
on lasers.
So
and I've had laser
is,
treatments.
What the IPL does is they, you know, it actually brings it up. It brings it, those, that layer comes up and they say you look like coffee grounds because then it flakes off. So you're actually like burning, that's being burnt away, if you will. So you do, I mean, so I'm going to go for a session of three for each one. And I don't think I'm going to look horrible, but it's not going to be pretty. I mean, I'm so fairly complected and because of the injury to my face, you know, and I've a lot of melasma, a lot of, you know, a lot of it. So it's probably going to not look all that great for the first couple days, but if I feel better, I'm getting self-conscious about it, which is why I'm doing it. You know, and probably to anybody else, they would be like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, people don't notice, but the brown, you know, but the brown spots after a while, it's like, it's somewhat but
there's
going to
be a maintenance. There's going to be a, and I don't wear makeup. I don't wear foundation hardly ever, except if I'm.
I don't either. I don't wear any foundation. I wear makeup every day, but I don't wear foundation. I just wear eye makeup and, you know, I'll do blush or whatever. But I, for me, it's just, it seems like there's more of them. When it was just my chin, I was kind of dealing with it, and the bleaching cream makes it go away. But then when you go out in the sun, you know, sometimes depending on where you are and what the exposure is, it just comes right back again.
Well, so this is going to be a maintenance thing. I mean, you're going to, you know, like I'll do this 3 series, and then I think they say once or twice a year to have a session.
How much is it?
I am actually a little embarrassed to say, but for both of them for the complete sessions, it's going to be like $1,900.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fuck, that's expensive. My dermatologist manages to get everything. He's in network and he manages to get everything covered by insurance.
Yeah, this stuff.
Because he writes everything down as acne treatment. Everything gets written down as acne treatment because for acne treatment for some reason is covered by the insurance.
Right. So that being said, the little thing that she burns off, she calls whatever she needs to call it so that it's covered. And I'm going to go in 2 weeks and I've got these like little cysts under my eyes that she's going to say is something called AK because that's covered. But if she says it's just whatever kind of cyst it is, it's not, which is bullshit. You know what I mean? If it's, you know, they're by my eyes and stuff. So I kind of, you know, I want them gone, but you know what? It's a weird thing when you go, are you being vain or is it affecting your self-confidence?
I don't think it's vain. I mean,
confidence. So I know it's a lot of money, and I'm actually like, I got a special medical credit card that has no financing, so I could afford to do it over the next year. But it means, you know, I guess that's why I don't have kids.
Your face maintenance is your children. Hey, yeah. Listen. I don't know, vanity, not vanity, whatever. You're looking at your face every day, and if it makes you happy, there's nitpicking on little things. I had a girlfriend from high school once tell me, we had gotten back in touch like after college, and I hadn't seen her in a long time, and she was telling me how, you know, she just was self-conscious and didn't go to the reunion because of this, that, or the other. She wasn't where she wanted to be in life, and she had this scar or something on her face, and I was like, really? Oh, I'm sorry. And then when I saw her, I looked at it and went, where, in my mind, I'm thinking, where's the scar? I don't understand. And she showed me, and it was like a little indentation, on, you know, next to her nose, under her eye. I would never have noticed it. It's just, you know, everybody, different strokes for different folks, you know, if it makes you happy or if you're obsessing about it and you need to get it done, get it done. So anyway, so listen, completely changing tacks.
Please.
There's no good segue here.
No, but let me just go say this.
Yeah.
You know, I think everyone should do what they want to do to make themselves feel better. So if that means that you
absolutely
have liposuction or your boobs done or your ass lifted or a scar removed or a tattoo removed, or as long as you're doing it for yourself and it makes you feel good, fuck what anyone else has to say about it.
Listen, there was a time where I was deeply obsessed with Sex and the City, especially when I was single. I would watch an episode every night before I went to bed, and then I would just start the series over again and do it. And I did that for a really long time because I just loved the show. So there's a lot of references that I do to Sex and the City because I know the episode so well. And there was one episode that was all about women's secret behavior, your secret female behavior. And that's part of it. Women, and maybe men do too.
I see dudes getting pedicures. I see dudes when I go
But that's not, if you're out getting a pedicure, that's not exactly secret behavior. They're talking about like, what, you know, one of them used to examine her pores in one of those close-up magnified mirrors. She'd like examine her pores and like extract her pores. And another one used to like make a little stack of saltines, you know, and stand over the sink and like eat saltines with butter. Like everybody has their kind of weird secret behavior. For some of us, it has to do with beauty and your faces, and for some of us it has to do with whatever weird shit you're into. But right.
Okay.
Well, yeah,
rock on.
I got my dude a pedicure for the first time, and I gotta tell you, he loved it. I couldn't believe that he had never in all of his 40 plus years, he had never actually, none of his girlfriends, wives, whatever, had taken him to a, to part of their, you know, to the salon to get a treatment.
Yeah. I took my
dude there. He loved it.
I know. I took my ex dude there one time, and I think it was when we were getting married, and he was like, oh my God.
He loved it. Like,
yeah. Yeah. He's gone back many times.
Loved it. And he is a caveman, like a knuckle dragging caveman guy. He is not even remotely in touch with his feminine side at all. And he absolutely loved it. And I took him to get a massage for the first time too. I cannot believe that he's gotten to the age that he's gotten to and has never been to a spa and gotten a massage.
I know there's a lot of people that
he's totally addicted. I'm turning him into a Ryan Seacrest mansexual or whatever. Not mansexual. What's it called?
Metrosexual.
Okay, so listen.
Yeah.
If you are in the mood for some revenge.
Yeah.
And you went through maybe not the greatest breakup.
Uh-oh.
And back in the day when we were growing up, pre-social media, we had our own ways of doing things. We, you know, took everything out in our memory love box and we just would burn it in a bonfire. But now that you have social media, well, let me tell you, ladies, and I guess men, although men are not as vengeful as women are, woman scorned and all, you got some options, honey. You got some options for revenge.
Really?
So apparently one gal whose boyfriend dumped her, she was not happy with it, and she decided to take her revenge. So instead, which, and it's gone viral, which is the best revenge of all.
Sure.
when your revenge goes viral. So instead of doing the, I guess for new millennials, their version of burning everything in a bonfire is just unfriending you on Facebook and blocking you and taking all of your shit down off of Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was too good for this guy.
Oh, no.
She decided to rewrite history on Facebook. I mean, on Instagram. So if you look at her Instagram post, which is now viral, you have, they've blocked out their faces, but you have a sweet picture of this couple, young. They look like, even though I can't see their faces, they're probably really attractive, thin, fit, young, 20 somethings. And the post is Hatherly Country Club. 'Cause there's a beautiful day. The rolling green golf course behind them. And they took a really cute picture, couple picture in front of the Hatherly Country Club golf course. And it says, great day, but he still sucks. And there's, you know, for whatever it said before, this is, she's now rewritten history and changed everything. And then she has the, you know, the emoticon, the anti-smiley face emoticon. Then now we have Rockefeller State Park Reserve. This one is a selfie, lovely selfie of them in front of a reserve. There's a nice lake behind them. There was clearly no one with them. It was a special walk they were doing, just the two of them, because it's just a selfie that they have. And it says, this was the first time his family heard about me, even though we had been together since October. Hashtag loved. With a heart and a smiley face. Now we have a party. Some sort of a fun kind of young 20-something party, because there's red cups and there's other people in the background drinking. It looks like they're in some sort of a basement of some kind. I don't know what kind of party this is. But somebody snapped a picture of them kissing at a party. And this is another thing I don't understand. Remind me after I'm done with this story. Remind me. I have another question to ask you as a person of a different generation to the new millennials, because this is something I don't quite understand with all the posting and the stuff on the social media. But anyway, so there was a fun candid of them kissing at a party, and it says, the girl he banged in high school came to visit 2 weeks after this pic was taken, and he told me I would just have to deal with it.
Oh, okay.
That one was, what was the
title? Because they were just friends, the girls from high school and him?
Probably. Mm-hmm. This was LAX prom 2K14 prom. God, how young are these people? They look like they're in their 20s, but maybe they're not. Maybe it's college. Okay, so really nice picture. He's in like some khakis, some nice like chinos with a belt, and he's got his nice blue button down with a pink tie. She's got a white kind of cocktail dress on. They look lovely. They're at some sort of an event or a party. It's nighttime. You can't really see what's behind them. He was actively receiving and screenshotting nudes from a whore on Tinder the same day and lied to me about it.
Nice.
So that's lovely. And then we have them at Patty's Berries and Bunches. They're in a field and they have baskets and it's a summery or spring day. He's got a nice polo shirt on with some yellow shorts and she's got a sweet little like romper on. They're clearly having fun picking berries. We finally made it to Riverhead to go berry picking. She's got a heart emoticon and a berry emoticon where my car broke down and he just yelled at me.
Okay, how much, because I'm intrigued, but how much more is there to this?
No, that's it. That's it. They just did a smattering of the post.
Because so, here's the thing, too. But here's the thing. I get that she's, like, changed history, but she's looking a little cray-cray herself.
See, but I disagree, because it'd be one thing if she was slashing and being like, he's an asshole, here's him, the dick, but she found kind of a clever, witty way of doing it that didn't make her look super crazy ex-girlfriend. It just made her look a little girlfriend scorned because obviously you read it and you go, wow, that guy's
better to do with your time.
That guy's a dick.
Yeah, he's totally a dick.
But then, you know, also the other side of it is if he really did all that shitty stuff, then what's wrong with you? Why did you stay with him? I just looked at it and thought, I didn't really care.
Well, because as you and I both know, sometimes you don't find out about things
until later.
It's way too, until someone's later. Fucking someone hard.
Until someone's fucking someone and all of a sudden some pictures got accidentally seen. But listen, or some friend finally says, hey, I can't take it anymore. This is what's
going on. I've known for 5 years, but here, let me tell you now.
But let me tell you now. So I just looked at that because I thought, A, it was kind of hilarious, and B, kind of clever. I think it's kind of clever because, listen, the new millennials have a lot of options for their revenge. They just do. And there's the downside of that, too, is that I've kind of experienced a little bit is that myself doing is that sometimes it can be really easy to get sucked into it. Like, I feel like a teenager sometimes where all of a sudden I'm like, well, what are they doing right now? Let me just check their Twitter. And you know, when you go and you check Twitter or you check photos to kind of go, I wonder what so-and-so's up to. And it feels a little stalkery and weird. But my other thing about that is, how are these kids getting all these like fun, candid moments captured? Who has their phone out and is taking pictures of somebody else's candid moments? It's got to be planned. They've only got to be planned, right? Because why do you have a candid, like, one of these clients of ours who's 20-something and my coworker who friends some of our clients on Facebook, I'm not friends with any of them, but she says, sometimes I'll look at his Facebook page and there'll be all these, like, candids of him, like, just kind of glancing over his shoulder, walking through the park or glancing, you know, or I check someone else's and they're again, 20 something millennials and young love there. It's a new relationship. And there'll be a picture of them like kissing on a bench at the zoo. And you look at it and go, who's taking this photo? No one is taking candids of you. And then saying, hey, I saw this really great moment, this really sweet moment you guys were having. Can I text you this photo I just took? Like, you have to be handing it off to somebody saying, take a picture, but give me a count of three because we're going to manufacture a real quick candid moment. Like, I'm going to look away and make it look like I'm just kind of looking over my shoulder and just accidentally seeing the camera right there. How do all of those pictures happen without you being a total jackass trying to manufacture it and direct it, right?
Well, right. And it's funny you said that because I saw a comedy show. I saw Rob Schneider on Friday night at the Improv out here. And the guy that was on before him, Nigel something or other, some Australian dude, was saying that, you know, 20 years ago, when you went to someone's house and they had a photo album on their coffee table, you would look through it and you would see birthday party pictures and you would see, you know, vacation pictures or whatnot. He goes, could you imagine if we did that today instead of having Instagram or Snapchat and the photos that people put up? And he goes, if you went to that same house and opened their photo album and you see three pages of Heather...
Of just candids of Heather in, you know, Heather and walking down the beach, like, and looking over her shoulder like, oh, like a candid of, oh, I didn't see you there. Like, that's how all the image, the overarching image of all of these candids of just them is the, oh, I didn't know you were there. I didn't see you standing there taking that picture because they all seem to be like so natural.
Right, but think about how self-centered, more self-centered we become.
So I mean, I am afraid for our future. Again, in an accidental segment of I Am Afraid for Our Future, we are raising a generation of self-centered, big-headed children. I mean, it's all about how many selfies can I get of me doing whatever? Me walking down the beach, me riding my bike, me doing a skateboard trick, me at the movies, what I'm eating today, my breakfast, my lunch, my dinner.
Hey!
Keith Grant! Fuck!
So imagine going into that home of today and seeing the photo album of three pages of selfies. Maybe, you know, all of a sudden, ooh, I had macaroni and cheese the other night and some beefaroni.
Two pages of what I ate for lunch and three pages of my blue steel face.
But it's not pictures of you and your friends. It's not picture of, you know, at a party, or it's not vacation photos. It's just really just gotten so self-centered. And I'm just like, it's such a true statement of society. And listen, I'm known from my girlfriend and I went and saw the show for my birthday, and we took a selfie and put it on saying what a great show it was. I'm going to be honest. We took like 10 selfies because the first 9 I didn't want on to put out there.
I am going to say that, sure, is it hypocritical? Yeah, I fucking love selfies. I usually try to have other people in my selfies. I don't usually just take selfies of just me. I'm a big fan of like the selfie. When I went up to Oregon for my sister's wedding, that was when I really started to embrace the selfie, and it became the joke, because it was like, that was the overarching theme of the entire trip, is I kept taking selfies. Because it started on the plane where I was like, selfies on a plane, selfies on
a plane. Yeah, but that could be funny if you're making
I make a joke of it because now I love the selfies, but because I'll try to do selfies of me and my kid, or selfies of, like, you know, it's multiple people in the selfie, groupie or whatever you want to call it.
Well, but there's something to be said about the fact that when there's no one standing around to take a picture, that you can actually take a picture of the group of people that you're with.
Yes.
I mean, there's some validity to it.
Very tongue in cheek. Santa gave all of the kids selfie sticks in their stockings because I thought it was hilarious. So it's, you know, it's one of those things where we're growing up with it too. So I embrace technology. I'm not going to turn my back on it. I embrace it as well. However, when you look at the younger generation, the new millennials who are growing up with it, it is not tongue in cheek. It is lots of pictures of the, you know, the blue steel face, that duck pucker that kids do. And that's very serious. They're doing it very seriously. So in that coffee table photo album, there's going to be three pages of your duck blue steel face of, you know, in different situations. Here's my blue steel face at the prom. Here's my blue steel face at the beach.
What's a blue steel face?
You know, from Zoolander, where that's their blue steel. Do your blue steel look. And it's lips. But I think they call it the duck face now. Yeah. Where the kids make that pursed lip. They do the pouty lip and they purse their lip. And the camera's either high or really low.
You know what I call that look?
Kardashian?
Smoker's mouth.
You do the smoker's mouth and you do the pouty looks, and you do the bedroom eyes, and you're the only one in the picture. And you're trying to make your face look really thin and pouty and whatever. And it's just, I don't. And then you post it for everyone else to see. First of all, those are the things that you do in the mirror that are embarrassing that you don't want to. It used to be that those were the things that you would do that you were embarrassed to do, that those were like your secret bathroom behavior things that you would do in the mirror to be like, oh, how do I look? Now, there's no secret bathroom behavior anymore. All of your behavior is like, look how, oh my God, I captured this really sexy moment of myself that took me 20 tries to get, but now I'm going to put it like a candid, like no big deal.
Like it just happened. Okay. Speaking. And you know what? I think when we've ever talked about the Kardashian family, I've always been like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't know very much about them, and I still don't. And I still don't really care, but I'm going to go on and say this. Kim Kardashian recently posted a picture of her completely naked on Instagram. Am I correct?
Yeah. Are you going to talk about the feud that started afterwards?
Between who? Her and everybody else?
Her and Bette Midler.
Well, that was supposed... I did read that, but it was like a joke, right?
No, it was not a joke.
Well, and then...
Kim Kardashian called her out because she got mad because Bette Midler made a joke. Like, listen, if we wanted to see a body part that, like, all of America hasn't seen, you're going to have to go internally now.
Right.
You're going to have to put a scope up your ass.
Yeah, and then she called her fake friend and whatever.
It went back and forth. It was stupid. It was really stupid. But Bette Midler is hilarious.
Well, I score the divine Miss M any time.
Yeah, exactly.
But I know that Pink got into it too. And suffice to say, if you know, everyone knows, we've made this clear. I'm a naked girl. I'm cool. You want to be naked? That's your business. But why does it have to be everyone's business? And it would be like one thing if she was like, you know, I think it's beautiful to see, you know, when Demi Moore did the, I think it was Vanity Fair pregnant picture.
That was art. This is vanity. Right. That was art. I mean, yes, is there some vanity to say that you're going to post a naked picture of yourself on the cover of Vanity Fair? Yeah, that's vanity too. However,
I think it's breaking down some stereotypes as well.
But this is different. This is different. This is like Instagram and social media and saying, hey, ha ha ha, nothing to wear. I'm a gajillionaire, but I have nothing to wear today. Oh, poor me. So here
I am. Is that what that was about?
Yeah. It was a post of her saying something like, you know, when you look in your closet and you have nothing to wear, and she's standing there naked.
And her, like, you could see bush and everything, right? I mean, it was like...
I don't know, because I didn't see that, you know, the picture that I saw obviously was on the news and Entertainment Tonight, so it had the bar there. Like, I don't think she didn't post a fully nude picture, because you can't do that on Instagram. I'm sure she had to have had it blurred out. She had to have had the nips and the bush blurred out.
Her arms were in front of her boobs in the camera, and her hips were thrown back enough that I don't think maybe the area was dark. You know what I mean? So it was.
Right. But again, it's something where somebody is making it look like just a real quick candid that, you know, she had to have like really practiced, tried many different angles, arched her back a certain way. She probably had to have taken like 100 different shots to get it just right, make sure the lighting was good. Like, this is a family who self-admittedly like invented the selfie lighting. There's a thing like the soft glow lighting that they put on their camera, on their phones, to emit that lighting, to make their skin look great and to make their eyes pop because that's how many fucking selfies they take. Get over yourself. Nobody wants to see you anymore.
Well, so that's kind of, I really try not to hurt. I mean, I really try not to judge people, but I was just like, what's your fucking story? Like, really? What is it that you, listen, like I said, I don't care that you're naked, but what is it you're trying to say?
Because this is 10 years. This is a woman who, and I'm all about, like, this is a thing. I'm all about S Factor and loving your body and owning your skin. And I have no problem that she wants to be naked or whatever. I guess the problem that I have with it is I'm so tired of reality show TV becoming reality show like 24 hours a day now with Instagram and Vine. And everything is all about these people who are celebrities, because she's a celebrity because she made a sex tape. Now, did she have a clothing line, and does she do a lot of other stuff? Is she a smart businesswoman? Sure. Otherwise, she wouldn't have been able to maintain it and keep all the money that she's been able to keep and make it into like a billion-dollar empire that they've been able to do, and good for them. They're good business people and whatever. But there's just, I don't know, I think it's not just her. I think it's the attitude in general of this me generation, where it's all about me, 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 me. Look at me. Look at how great I look. And there was a woman who came out a couple of months ago. There was a woman who I think was another one of these social media stars. I didn't know who she was, but a lot of them are like people who do makeup tips or do videos all about like how to put on makeup or how to dress or how to eat. And you know, they're famous because they do like 5-minute video clips on how to apply eyeshadow. And there was a woman who was one of those, and she kind of came out finally and was like, look, I'm just going to be real. This photo that I posted on Instagram, which is, again, a gorgeous kind of candid of her on the beach and doing whatever, looking stunning in a bathing suit. She came out and did a series of like, this picture took me an hour to get. I probably snapped 300 versions of it before I found the one that I liked, before the lighting was just right and I looked just right. And I did. So, you know, we're not doing a service to our children, because the new millennials are now 18, 19, 20 years old. I have two stepdaughters and a son who are 9, 11, and 12 and a half years old, who are being raised looking at these pictures and thinking that this is life, that you should be able to have just a candid capture of you where you look gorgeous and your hair is perfect and your makeup is perfect and your body looks perfect and you're super skinny. And we're fucked, because these girls and my son are going to grow up in like a super fucking bulimia generation. Like, we're going to go all the way back to everybody's going to have a fucking eating disorder, or all of our kids are going to be really, really self-aware and have good heads on their shoulders because they have to grow up in this.
Yeah. It's, I can't even,
there's a book out that's not very well written. That's called The Circle. Have you heard of it?
Mm-mm, no.
And it's about this. It's about the slippery slope that we're heading down with The Circle, where it's all about a kind of Mac, you know, what's that guy's name that they just did the movie about?
Steve Jobs.
Yeah. It's like a Steve Jobs type of guy, but he ends up realizing what he's done, and that the people who kind of took it over from him have kind of pushed him to the background, and now they're taking it over because they're using it to see all and know what everybody's doing
right.
at every given time. And they've convinced a huge chunk of America to buy into it, that we should all be able to be aware and have cameras everywhere and know everything that's going on at every given time. And there's a small group of people who are pushing back and saying, no, we need to have some privacy. We need to be able to have something for ourselves, but that's where we're going.
That's actually what's going on with the, I guess this brings us up, is the San Bernardino shootings, as you're aware of.
Oh, with the iPhone, yeah.
Yeah.
Which side of that are you on? Do you think that the iPhone should give it up and crack the code and give it to them? Or do you think...
No, I don't.
Yeah, I don't either.
So for those of you who aren't familiar with the story, so there was a mass shooting several months ago in San Bernardino, California, where several people lost their lives. And there was some... one of the suspects, if I'm Kiki, you probably know a little bit more. There was information that the FBI thought they could get off of the cell phone.
It did turn out that they're being labeled as terrorists.
Right.
They were a young couple. I don't know if they were officially married, but married, not married. They were a young couple who were labeled as terrorists. He had multiple phones. That's why a lot of people are saying you're not going to find anything anyway, because he had multiple phones and he had wiped them all. So if there was anything on this phone worthy
of... Did he die? She died, right?
But they both died.
Okay.
They both died. And so the iPhone that belonged to him, that I believe was a work phone or something, is locked because apparently this newest generation, not the older ones that most of us have, but this newest generation of 6, 6S, 6 Plus, whatever... They have an encryption code on them that cannot be broken. And even Apple itself does not have a code to break.
Right, they'd have to create it.
They'd have to create it. So the FBI is now coming in and saying, we need you to create a code for us to get into this phone, because even the FBI cannot get into the phone and get the information out of it. We need you to create a code and then give it to us. And Apple is saying, no, we're not going to. First of all, it's privacy. That's the whole reason why we created it, was so people could have privacy. And if we create a code, it'll be out there. And once a code is out there, it is, no matter how we try to, you can't unring the bell. No matter how we try to hide it or keep it encrypted or keep it to ourselves or keep it whatever, once the code exists, someone will be able to crack it. Someone will be able to access it. Someone will be able to hack it. It'll be out there in the world. And then our software will no longer be any good.
Then nothing will be private.
Nothing will be private.
And then it goes back even onto, in my opinion, and, you know, maybe there's somebody out there who is a listener who feels like messaging us about this, perhaps, if they did. Then that goes against the institution itself, right? So once someone can hack it, that means that they can hack the FBI or the CIA or National Security or, you know, NSA or Food and Drug, whatever.
I mean, and it's kind of cool because it's created a very... for a little while anyway, I don't know what's happening with it now, but it created a very hot debate amongst a lot of intellectuals saying, do you or don't you? And there were some really big people on both sides. There were some really big people on both sides of it. Although I think they were surprised at how many people were on the side of Apple. They thought, I think they figured that with the American public being so as
frightened as they are,
and worried about terrorism, that everybody would say, no, fuck it, crack it and give it to them. That a lot of the public said, no, we have a right to privacy. Even though he was a terrorist and he, you know, supposedly, and he did all these horrible things, he had a right to his own privacy. You were able to look at other phones. There's other stuff that you were able to get into. And, you know, he had a right to his own privacy. Everyone has a right to their own privacy.
Well, I'm watching House of Cards right now.
God, me too. Okay, that is so disturbing. This show is so disturbing.
I know. And so I don't know what episode you're up to.
I'm in season 3, and I think we're about 4 episodes into the newest season.
Okay, well, this might be a little bit of a spoiler alert, but not really, because it's just a general topic. But because it coincides with what we're talking about, they're at a place right now where there's an ISIS-type group that is, they believe, recruiting people, citizens from around the world to be in it, right? And those people use the internet. But what it's really about is there's in this particular show, for those of you who aren't familiar with House of Cards, it's a show about a man and his wife and the political system in the United States and how he climbs up from being senator to
and
president.
And how corrupt it is.
And it's scary.
It's disturbing because it's probably super accurate.
If it's even remotely part of it's true, it's really frightening.
Yeah.
In any case, so this is an election cycle that they're going through, and they're actually using the idea that we need to the judge, that we need to have access to this kind of internet surveillance so that we can make sure that this ISIS type group isn't recruiting. And really what they can do, and this is the truth of how
they
this
just
works.
Use it. They use it so they can gain access. They'll use anything. They did a storyline like this on The Good Wife too. Do you watch The Good Wife with Juliana Margulies? It's such a great show. And they had it's ending this year. They're going off the air apparently. And, they had a storyline that was the same thing, that was anything that they could possibly find to say, she used a term, they had certain terms and certain phrases that would give them the go ahead to then be able to unlock and listen legally if they said anything. And they kept wanting to listen to her conversations and follow her. And so they kept finding things. Well, she said this person's name and this person, you know, was associated with that person who's a known terrorist. So does that give us, you know, access to listen for 3 more months? And they'd go, okay, fine. You have the clearance to surveil her and listen to every single tap into her phone, listen to all the conversations.
But that's just a particular person. And this, what I'm talking about in general is just how, so yeah, you can certainly with the Patriot Act, if you show cause that you can need this information about a person and you can get a judge to believe that it's within the scope of what you're searching for, they can keep re-upping that surveillance. I get that. But the scope of what they're proposing with this is that basically what you're doing is you're saying, Your Honor, I'm going to be looking for keywords like terrorists or this or that and the other. And then you start getting this whole search engine full of stuff. But basically what they're using it for is, and I know that's what happens for advertising now, where you're like, oh, someone looked at a aerosol shoes ad.
Yeah.
And then
Google.
Everything that you get, right.
Google's known for doing that.
But they can literally go through and get your phone records and get your address and get whatever so that they can target you. If you like guns but you're not a gun owner, then we can send you propaganda on joining this group. I mean, it's
awful. Slippery
slope. And that's why I think the whole thing with Apple, I'm like, can we? Someone please stand up for having some kind of privacy?
But that's
and
the
we
problem.
Do it, but listen.
Apple's a hypocrite because they do it too. Because here's the thing.
Sure, everyone does.
You know,
I get it.
That's the big thing about when you download all these apps, who reads the fucking 5-page, you know, teeny tiny print of disclaimers? But hidden in those disclaimers, you're giving them, some of these apps, you're giving them permission to access your phone, to access this, like the newest thing that came out this week, I think on the Today Show, was if you have this flashlight app, which I had one of them, I didn't know which one it was, but if you have this flashlight app, there's a certain flashlight app that has a hidden back door in it that is a camera. And hidden in the disclaimers, if you read them, which nobody does, basically says, yes, I'm giving you permission to access my phone, use the camera feature, video, record, watch, take pictures of, anything that the camera on my phone can see. And they were saying that you'll know which app it is because if you look at the size of it, like some of the apps, you know, the size
right.
should be smaller. It shouldn't be big. If the size of the app is really big, then you know that it's got this other feature in it. I went in and deleted it because I'm like, I don't need it anyway. But I know this is out there, and yet I'm still a lazy American who still doesn't read all the disclaimers to see, like, what am I giving away? Because most Americans don't. And yet I'm sure there's a ton of apps out there that we're giving them permission for God knows what.
And then you get to the point, so then you have that thing where you can be hyper-vigilant and make yourself fucking paranoid. And I know people that are. I know people that are way, way paranoid. And I look at them and I go, oh my gosh, you're so paranoid. On the flip side, you can become so relaxed that you give up your personal freedom and you give up your privacy because you know that if you go walking outside, there could be any number of satellites passing over you that are taking pictures of you.
But I also...
So it's a weird place to be in.
I'm in the middle somewhere because there's a part of me that, yes, I'm lazy and I give up and whatever. But there's also that part of me that's like, oh God, do I really want to read all that? Do I really want to be that vigilant? I'm not doing anything wrong. There's nothing, I don't care. Look, whatever. I'm not doing any. If I was doing anything wrong, then you'd find something, but you're not going to find anything. But that's okay, not so the right attitude to have
because
I still have the right to have privacy and not have people peeking into my life through my fucking Skype camera on my computer.
Okay, but this goes back to what I was talking about in the last show. I was so freaked out that one person, yes, may be coming and surveilling my house that I spent $500 to have someone come in here and sweep my house. When literally on my stupid iPhone, I could be giving permission to tens of hundreds of companies to do just that. Mm-hmm. Okay, now that we've frightened all the 20 people that listen to our show.
Right.
Now that they won't be able to sleep at night due to the horrors that we presented to them.
I guess we should say
goodbye.
Not horrors. We didn't present any horrors this episode.
Know what? You know what we didn't? Superfan Tim will be happy to know. But I'm going to say it now. We didn't talk about assholes.
But
I didn't talk about shitting.
You just did.
I know, I'm just saying for the sake of argument, we did a whole show not based on any orifices, basically.
Yep, good for you.
Wow, I'm growing. All right, you guys, thanks a lot for listening to us this week. Wow, I almost feel like we did like a Meet the Press kind of thing. It was really kind of not like a usual show for us, but we're keeping it interesting, folks, at home.
All right.
We'll see you guys next week. Have a nice Easter, if that's what you do.
If that's what you do.
Well, listen, we've got folks that may be pagans or atheists or Muslims or Jews or, you know.
Yeah, I feel
so. For all you Christians who feel that Jesus died and rose 3 days later, I hope you enjoy your Easter eggs and your peeps, because that's what Jesus was about. So I hope you enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And your ham.
Yeah.
Your scalloped potatoes.
Oh, God, now you're making me hungry.
And your jelly beans, that they don't call jelly beans anymore. They call them fruit somethings or others. So I hope you enjoy your Red Six dye and your...
Are you enjoying yourself? Are you having fun?
I just kind of made myself laugh about that because it's so, you know, again, not my bag, but I enjoy it for other people.
Okay. Well, go forth. Have a fantastic week.
All right, you guys. Talk to you later. Love you. Bye.
Bye. I need someone who's clean with a dirty mind.